Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is all of it. Thanks, Sean Carlson. I usually don't get to see you sneaking out of the green space like you do. Everybody, we are live here in the green space in Soho. Thank you for spending part of your day with us, whether you're here in person, listening on the radio, watching the live stream. Really happy to have you all. Little bit of all of it housekeeping. This is your last weekend to submit a public domain performance to the All of It Public Song Project. That's where we've asked you to reimagine a song or work that's up for grabs in the public domain. If you still need that extra push, here's a little demonstration from our friend, Brian Lehrer.
Hi, I'm Brian Lehrer, host of The Brian Lehrer Show, and I'm going to play the first few measures of Duke Ellington's Black and Tan Fantasy on this Roland digital instrument called an Aerophone Mini in clarinet setting. Now, you certainly can do better than that.
Thank you, Brian. Submissions are due Monday, so get your songs in. Everyone who submits a public domain song will get their have it shared online through our accounts, but a select few will have their chance to be interviewed on the air about their creation. Go to wnyc.org/public song project for more information and inspiration. Speaking of songs, Yola Tango have a bunch of new ones. Today is the album release for their new one. They'll be performing very shortly. So let's get this started. On we go with Emma Straub. Best-selling author and store owner of Books Are Magic, Emma Straub has written her very first picture book. It's called Very Good Hats, and it's all about different objects that make great headwear, from paperback books to empty soup bowls to bath bubbles. Now, that does not sound like the kind of book that would provoke the ire of school boards, and yet, last month, two elementary schools outside of Houston, Texas, disinvited Emma from scheduled readings. Administrators wrote to parents and teachers of the decision, quote, "It has been brought to our attention that this author has regularly used inappropriate and foul language on her social media platforms, specifically repeated use of the F word. This type of language, as you know, does not align with our school and community values." Now, Emma's tweet that seemed to provoke the ire of these parents in Texas was this one, posted on the day of the Uvalde shooting. F guns, F people who care more about controlling women's bodies than protecting all of us from people with guns, F, it's too much, so heartbroken. It's the latest incident in a larger pattern of troubling school board decisions banning books from schools, libraries, especially titles that center on LGBTQ characters or discuss race or racism or women's rights. But this hasn't stopped Emma from sharing her delightful book with kids around the country. Plus, she's launched a new Books Are Magic location. She appeared on the cover of New York Magazine as one of the reasons to love New York. And last year, her novel, This Time Tomorrow, was a national bestseller. Let's talk about all of it with the woman herself, Emma Straub. Come on in. Hello. Yes, I'm so happy to see you. Oh. Let's do the news part first.
Okay.
Where were you when you first got this news that you were being disinvited to read this sweet book?
Yes.
To sweet children. Well,
yes.
Maybe. I don't know. somewhere in Texas.
I will say your producers, as you were speaking just now, they were all laughing and cheering me on and saying things. And then one of them turned around and said, okay, but you can't say it out there. So I promise to follow all the FCC guidelines. So I had flown into Houston, Texas the night before the school visits that I was supposed to do. And my friend Kathy from Blue Willow Books, one of the best independent bookstores in the country in Houston, Texas. She picked me up and she said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that we are on our way to a wonderful school where you are going to read this book to hundreds of children. I was like, okay. And she said, the bad news is that we're not going to the schools that we were scheduled to go to because this is what happened. And, you know, we didn't know yet the specifics. Like, we didn't know that this was the problem. Mm-hmm. I think that we can all agree that the F word was not the problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was very surprising. I've never been uninvited from anything before. I feel like I'm a pretty good party guest. I always send thank you notes. Yeah, it was a surprise.
Was there any part of you that wanted to say, wait, can we talk about this? Can we engage in and maybe find some common ground, or was it just you realized no?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's especially after I saw a helpful parent posted sort of the receipts of this mm-hmm. on Twitter. And so I got to see everything that you know, the parents who complained had actually said. And, you know, it was clear to me that it had so little to do with me. It mm-hmm. had so little to do with me. And I have been invited to come back to other places in Texas. And mm-hmm. it's not about me. I mean, that's really how I felt about it immediately and continue to feel that, like, the problem is not that I couldn't read my honestly very good book about very good hats to these first graders. The problem is that there are parents who are getting books, important books pulled from their kids' libraries left and right all over Texas and Florida in particular. And that's the problem. That's the problem. It's not me.
When you said you got receipts, what happens?
Oh, I just that a helpful parent in the school district had, you know, posted the photos of what the parent had said and just what you read, you know, that was the tweet that they had shared with the school board. That was the problem.
And it was more about the guns and abortion.
Sure was.
What has it been like as an author, as someone who's devoted your life to selling books and getting books in people's hands, to see this approach to book banning?
It was surprising. It was surprising. And honestly, it was surprising to have it happen to me and this book, you know, because it was mostly what is going on now is people are pulling books for the book's content. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a book like Genderqueer is a graphic book that's getting pulled and banned all the time now, which is about gender identity and, you know, things like that. Books that contain ideas that that some parents find unpalatable or don't want their children to have access to. But yeah, no, it was quite a surprise for it to not be the book's content at all, but just me.
Me is Emma Straub. The new picture book is called Very Good Hats. We'll be taking questions. Emma has agreed to take some questions from the audience. Maybe you want to know what to read next. Maybe you have a question about writing a children's book. Social media, you can reach out as well, at all of it, WNYC. You know, why do you think it's about kids' books specifically?
Well, I mean, if you think about the books that you loved the most as a kid, mm-hmm. why did you love them? You know, you loved them because they spoke to something in you. And all of those pieces from books that speak to you, they add up and they turn you into a person with mm-hmm. a brain. And, you know, I mean, people often talk about books as, you know, doors or windows, mm-hmm. or mirrors, excuse me. They could be a door too. fantasy novels, often doors. But we want there to be as many different kinds of mirrors as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what these parents are afraid of. They're afraid of their children seeing something and understanding something about themselves or having empathy toward their classmates that the parents don't share. It's about control, you know? But what is magical about children's books is that they provide access to all different worlds and possibilities and feelings. They're the best books. I could stop. I mean, I shouldn't say this maybe because I own a bookstore, but I will. Is that I could stop reading books for grown-ups, and I think I'd be fine as long as I could still read books for children.
Let's talk about very good hats. Very good hats. People think writing children's books is that it's easy. It is not easy. What was a challenge?
So I started writing this book in about April of 2020. Uh-oh. I don't know if you remember that fun time. but I was at home with my two small children who were then 3 and 6. And I couldn't work on the novel that I was trying to write because there I was.
Yeah.
You know, my husband was...
And there they were.
And there they were. There, there they were. There we all were together. But I found what I could do was work on picture book ideas because I could do it with my kids.
Nice.
The difficulty of writing children's books is like the difficulty of writing poetry is that unfortunately every word has to be right.
Because the limit is what usually...
Well, it's just because, you know, it's the you've got so little language. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got, you know, if you've got 6 sentences, they have to be right. You know, if you're writing a 400-page book, if some of the sentences are sort of more, you know, like utilitarian, it's okay. But in a picture book, it's not okay. They have to be good.
Speaking of words, right off the top, we get a big word, haberdashery. Haberdashery. What went into haberdashery? There are some adults who can't say haberdashery.
Well, there are a few things. I mean, number one, if you say a funny long word that children don't know, they will laugh.
Oh.
And number two, everybody likes to learn things. And also it's a word that I actually, that is in some other children's books. Like it's in, Myra Kalman and, Daniel Handler writing as Lemony Snicket wrote a book called 13 Words about 10 years ago. And one of the 13 words is haberdashery. And it's so satisfying. It's fun to say. Mm-hmm. So long, you know.
Can we talk about your illustrator, too? Let's give a shout-out to your illustrator, Blanca Gomez.
Blanca Gomez. So Blanca Gomez. Yay! Yes, let's clap for Blanca. I mean, you know, if you're in the studio here, you can see these pictures. And if you're on the radio, you can
Google.
But she's incredible. She lives in Spain, and she and I have never met in person, but I knew it was going to be great because when we started emailing, she sent me an email that said, I hate pictures of myself. I never publicly share pictures of myself, but I thought you should see this. And she sent me a photograph of herself with a banana on her head. And I just thought, this is really going to work out.
When you've been reading the book to kids... kids say the funniest things. What's been something that stuck with you a kid has said, or a question that you're like, wow, that came out of your little face?
Yeah, well, most of my questions... I was reading this book mostly to kindergartners and first graders, and their concept of, like, the word question is pretty loose. So I got a lot of questions like... I have 7 dogs. You know, there are a lot of questions like that. But in Houston, actually, at the school that I went to, one kid asked me, he raised his hand, he was so serious and so small, and he said, "How many dinosaurs could fit in your city?" And I thought about it, and I thought, well, you know... And then I started talking to him about how Houston, it takes up a lot more space than New York City. So that probably there could be more dinosaurs that would fit in Houston than can fit in New York City. And then we started talking about different kinds of dinosaurs. It was a great conversation. not so many questions about hats.
Do you Do you remember a book that you talked about how books, when we read as kids, they really become who we are and we think about them even in our adult lives? Is there one or two that you still think about?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I own a bookstore, so I like think about these books all the time. And I have two small children who will still let me read picture books to them. So Eloise, I would say, is really in the DNA of this book, because if you remember Eloise, who lived at the Plaza, I'm sure you all know Eloise. She says at one point, tissue boxes make very good hats, which of course they do because they already have the opening. All you have to do is pull it on. So I think about Eloise and her sort of joie de vivre a lot.
I think about Ferdinand the Bull all the time. Just you do you.
Ferdinand. You do you. I know. I love Ferdinand so much. I tell my children, we read it all the time, and I tell them that Ferdinand, I really thought about naming both of them Ferdinand. I mean, I wouldn't have named them both Ferdinand. But, you know, I didn't name the first one Ferdinand, and so I still could have named the second one Ferdinand. I think they're glad I didn't. But yes, that's how much I love that book.
How great would it be if your kids were Ferdinand and Eloise and you own a bookstore? So good. Maybe you should get some pets.
Yeah, good idea.
Get store pets, maybe.
Yeah.
My guess is Emma Straub. The new picture book is called Very Good Hats. Of course, she is the owner of Books Are Magic. There's a new Books Are Magic at 122 Montague Street in Brooklyn Heights. It's exciting to think about more bookstores. When did it become clear you could do this? You could expand.
People started asking. We opened our first store, which is on Smith Street in Cobble Hill in Brooklyn, in 2017, and I would say starting that first week, people were like, "So when are you going to open one in Brooklyn Heights?"
Wow!
Because it's the adjacent neighborhood, but it's long enough. It's about a 20-minute walk in between the two stores, so it's far enough that if there were another one, you know, we knew we had a lot of customers who would go there. And my husband and I just said no. And then, you know, it was 2020, and we said like extra no. But then, you know, we looked around and we looked at spaces, and we both agreed that unless we found a place that was really perfect, that we wouldn't do it. And then we walked into this place and we just said, oh, no. And the real estate agent was like, what's wrong? And we're like, it's perfect. And so we did it. And it's been great. And the neighborhood is so happy. They haven't had a bookstore in 30 years, so they're really happy to have us there.
Let's take some questions from the audience. Hi.
Hello. So I'm a first-time author, and Books Are Magic is the first book that my bookstore that my book was ever in.
Yay!
Which is pretty exciting.
Yay!
But I have a separate question, though. But so you were talking a lot. I mean, obviously, your point of view is very political, in which you had to fight in earlier, right?
Yeah.
Saying writing is political, and I found myself in conflict with presses about values. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, do you have a situation you could speak to where you had to stand up for your beliefs in your career in the face of like your publisher or your press or other business collaborators?
Yeah, thank you. That's a really good question. I mean, I think that, you know, I am so lucky. I feel really lucky that I never hesitate to share my political positions. And my publisher was totally supportive of me. You know, I think that I have occasionally been sort of coached by publishers or publicists or things to you know, maybe we could answer the question this way or that way. They love to do that. But no, part of it is like, you know, owning a bookstore in Brooklyn. So like I'm in this bubble, right? I'm in this little liberal bubble. And so it was, I think that's actually why it was really shocking to me when I got to Texas and people had this feeling because, you know, all of the elementary schools and all the parents who I know in Brooklyn are so supportive. I mean, we, you know, at Books Are Magic, we've done so many fundraisers for every town for gun safety. I mean, we've raised, like, I think probably at this point, like $30,000-$35,000. And when I got uninvited, I started a new campaign and immediately raised $6,000. And so it's surprising. It's surprising when you like stick a toe somewhere where not everybody believe, you know, agrees with you. I don't know how people do it in other places. Like, it just made me feel really happy to live in New York City. Did I answer your question? I don't know. Maybe a little bit.
I want to just point out that at the bookstore, you have an I Read Black Authors Challenge.
Yes.
You're also selling handcrafted bracelets for Valentine's Day with all the proceeds going to New York Abortion Access Funds.
Yes.
Speaking to this gentleman's point.
Yes.
What are you working on? What's next?
Oh, God, Allison, do I have to do anything else?
No, you do not.
I'm working on the screenplay adaptation of This Time Tomorrow, my most recent novel.
Awesome.
I'm doing that, and I'm making little notes in a notebook for a new novel that I will have time to write someday.
Emma Straub, thank you for making time to come and be with us. Such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yola Tango have a new album out today, and they're here with us live in the green space to perform. Talk to you soon.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.